everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
We do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. You know, Richard, the vast majority of people go to church for two reasons. One, they want to be challenged in their faith. But the real reason most people go is because they want to feel close to God. Mm-hmm. I mean, all week long, they've been beat up by the world. They've had difficult times, and their emotions are just all over the place. And so when they come to church on Sunday or Saturday night or whatever service they choose to go to, they're wanting to come away with a deeper connection to God, a feeling that they are close, that they are in His presence.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about that and you say, hey, that's what drives most of us in life. We want to feel that connection. We want to feel that closeness to God, not only on Sunday, but every single day of the week. Well, God has solved that problem for us. He's actually drawn near to us. He has initiated. He sent Jesus. And when we receive this gospel, we get real close to God. Why? Because God gets real close to us. And I want to share a couple of passages today to really underscore that. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, if you've received Jesus, you're close to God. That's just truth. Now, you may not feel like you're close to God, but that doesn't change the truth that you are. So the first passage that I want to read is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 17. Just want to read this one verse, and it's kind of interesting because this is in a section about sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. So he's making some points about who we are in Christ as the argument to say, you don't need to be involved in sexual immorality.
Yeah.
You have what you're looking for in Jesus Christ. And he gets down to this really powerful point in verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Now, what happens when you come to Christ, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Well, here it says that you are at that moment joined to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say, here's what that means to be joined to the Lord, that you actually become one spirit with him. Now, Paul has really outlined what that looks like for us back in Romans chapter 8. And he talks about the fact that in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And he goes on to talk about the fact that we were either in the flesh or in the Spirit.
Yes.
Now, if you're a believer, you're in the Spirit. You're no longer in the flesh. You used to be in the flesh. Mm-hmm. You were controlled by the flesh. You were dominated by sin. You were under sin's control. But all that changed. You were rescued from that domain of darkness, and you were placed into Christ Jesus. So
yes,
you're in the Spirit. And he underscores that in verse 9 of Romans chapter 8. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, here Paul says it means that you have the Spirit of God living in you. So no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're thinking, if you're a believer, Christ's Spirit dwells in you. So how close are you to God? Well, as close as you can get.
Yeah.
Like I said, you may not feel that. Mm-hmm. Your mind may be telling you a different story, but the gospel gives you the truth, and that's what you need to rely upon. That's what you need to take your stand upon, the fact that Christ Jesus is alive, living in you. So if you want to feel close to God, then let this truth soak in. let this truth really be the foundation for your everyday existence. Wake up every morning with this excitement, this thrill in the heart that you're going through this day with Christ in you. Mm-hmm. He's there with you every moment, through every circumstance, in every situation. And he has promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you want to feel close to God, really take a deep look at this, at these two passages, yes. 1 Corinthians 6:17 and Romans 8:9. I think these two will really tell you the story that Christ is close to you, and as a result, you're close to God. And that's good news.
Sure is.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. We welcome your call, 1-844-322-2742. If you have a question that you would like to ask on today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Now, Richard, I know there's many people out there that are struggling with their identity in Christ or their identity in general. Who am I?
Yeah.
That's one of the big questions that we ask of ourselves, and we wrestle. We struggle in life until we have what we think is a rock-solid answer to that question. Well, if you have adopted any of the labels, any of the identities that are out there in the world, you may think it's rock solid, but it's not.
No.
If it's based on the opinions of others, those opinions are going to change. If it's based on something that you do, your profession, that profession is going to come to an end. Then who are you at that point? If it's just a relationship to your power or status in this world today, all that can change very, very quickly. So if you want to really know who you are, you're going to have to look to God and find out what he says about you. And really, there's only two identities according to the Bible. You're either a sinner, lost and in need of life, or you're saved and you're a child of God.
Yes.
Well, if you're lost, then to get that answer to your question, who am I, you need to look to Christ and then receive Christ. And when you receive Christ, you're born again into the family of God, and you're given a brand new identity. If you're in Christ, you already have that new identity.
Yes.
And oftentimes, many Christians live as if they're not children of God. They may adopt a denominational label or something else, and that changes as well. Mm-hmm. So we've created this resource called The Real You, and we want to put it in your hands. It is one of the best resources that you could ever get a hold of, and it's yours as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. So if you would like this resource and can give $10 or $20 or $100, you would be really helping Basic Gospel to reach more people with this good news about Jesus Christ. And we will put in your hands this fabulous resource that can really ground you in who you are in Christ Jesus. And that is so important to know what Jesus says about you.
Yes.
And once you know that, your life will be on solid footing. I guarantee it. So go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click on the donate button, and as you do, another page will come up. Just follow the instructions and be sure to request your copy of The Real You. We'll get it to you as quickly as we possibly can. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher here with Richard Pfeiffer. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. We're going to start out today with a Facebook question.
Okay.
From Janice, who is watching us on our Facebook feed. And she simply asked this: how come the United States is not mentioned in the Bible? And we want to think it should be because of its importance on the world stage today.
Uh-huh.
But it's not.
It's
we don't
not.
See any reference to the United States at all. And why is that, Richard? Why does God not mention this nation, since it's of such great importance in the world today?
Well, the first reason is we've got to change our thinking about how important the United States is. Yes, in the world's terms, we have the largest economy. We probably have the largest military. We have the largest political influence, that sort of thing. But in the Bible's economy, countries, by and large, are meaningless. God doesn't care about human organizations. He uses them, right? He helps set up kings and kingdoms and all of that, but to further his own ends. And the issue is, what is Jesus doing? And what is that? What does that mean for us? So we know historically that Jesus created the earth, created everything. We know historically that Jesus came and dealt with sin once for all, and he dealt with the death problem once for all. We quite often forget to mention that. Well, what are we waiting for? We're waiting for the recreation, for things to be restored. And again, that's Jesus. And what is mentioned in the Bible has to do more with the world system, especially if you're looking in Revelation. It's the world system that is revealed to be Antichrist. And there are, of course, individuals that we might know eventually that are part of that Antichrist thing. But it's this world system, which is controlled by Satan, versus God's system, which is controlled by Jesus Christ. And there really is no competition. There is no equality here. Satan is a defeated foe. The world system is already a defeated system. We're just waiting for Jesus to show up and recreate everything. He's going to recreate everything down to the least atom. We get recreated. If we're still alive when he comes, we get new bodies, glorified bodies. The whole earth, the Bible describes it, that the heavens and the earth flee from him. And then he creates everything new. And then he makes his dwelling place with us. Political issues just don't play into that conversation. But in any country in which you live, you can ask, is my country supporting in any way the program of God, or is it fighting the program of God? And if you want to talk about the United States, you can ask that question in several different ways. And I don't think you're going to be happy with the answer in several different ways. But this is about Jesus and what he's doing for individual people. He came to save people, not countries. And so even though we see countries in the scope of history, those countries were mostly in the Mediterranean area because they had a direct impact on God's chosen people, Israel, who were chosen so that Jesus would have a human pathway with which to enter this world and change history for everyone, not just for Jews, but everyone. And so don't get concerned about whether the United States is in history and, you know, don't write books about it or in the Bible. Bible. Yeah,
that's,
I'm sorry.
That's the question.
Yeah, well, if it's not in the Bible, it's so?
Yeah. I
mean, Jesus
and not every nation is mentioned.
No.
I mean, we have over 200 countries that... Yeah. Populate the planet right now, and there's not all of them that are mentioned.
No.
Very few that are mentioned in the Word of God. But we have to recognize that God's plan has always been through Jesus. It's not through countries or nations. It's through Jesus Christ, and all nations are blessed in him. Mm-hmm. as the promise to Abraham was stated, and it's because the gospel of Jesus is being proclaimed in,
yes,
in nations far and wide. And so every corner of the world, wherever Jesus Christ is lifted up, people are drawn to him. And that's what God is about in this world today.
Yes.
And it's exciting that we can be a part of it. So
yeah, one of the things that's even the most cool about this is that those nations that seem to be the most anti-Christ are the places where the gospel is quite often moving the fastest.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, God is sovereign.
South America, some of the African countries, even in communist China,
Middle East. Yeah.
An explosion of this gospel message in the lives of people. And a lot of it's underground. You're not going to hear stories about it. It's not going to show up in headline news. But God is doing
yes,
his work through his people. And who are his people? Those who have received Christ, those who are born again. And the Spirit of God is compelling, moving, constraining them by the very love of God to oftentimes risk life and limb,
yeah,
so that others can know this saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So,
yeah.
Janice, thank you so much for your question. We certainly appreciate it. We're going to go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk with Brad. Hi, Brad.
How y'all doing? Very good to hear you. I want to bring something to the program. You guys have probably covered this numerous times, but I ask this because there's bound to be new people listening. And I deal with this very regularly, and that is people who believe that you can lose your salvation, and they ultimately say, once I give them all the evidence that that's just not true, they say, well, you can walk away. So like it's being separated from God's love. They said, but you can still walk away. Could you guys address that? Because I think it's a pretty potent in today's society.
Well, Brad, yes, that question is huge, and we just can't talk about that enough to be able to say that when somebody's saved, they're saved forever. Why? Because salvation is much more than just getting a certificate saying that you can gain entry into heaven when you die. When salvation occurs, a conversion takes place. We go from death to life. God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. We're declared righteous. We've been redeemed. We've been loosed from that old system. Those powers that once held us have been destroyed, and we go free in Jesus. So it is a huge thing that happens. It's monumental what takes place as far as God is concerned in saving us. We are truly converted. We are converted from children of darkness to children of light. And once that conversion has taken place, that's an eternal transaction. Once you've gone from death to life, you're eternally alive in Jesus Christ. Why? Because the sin issue, the very sins that killed you, have been taken away once and for all. You're no longer under the law of sin and death. I was thinking about this other day, Richard. This passage in Romans 8, it talks about the fact that we have been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. And how best do we illustrate that? I think if you're out at an airport and you're looking out a window, you're at your gate and you look out a window, well, you see an airplane out there, big, huge airplane. And at that moment, it is on the ground, and there's a law, there's a force that is being exerted upon that airplane. It's called the law of gravity. And while that airplane is under the law of gravity, it's going to be ground bound. But that airplane is equipped with a power that will supersede the law of gravity. It's called a jet engine. And when fuel is combined with that jet engine and that plane goes down the runway, then another law starts to operate. It's called the law of aerodynamics. And that plane is going to lift off that ground simply because the law of aerodynamics trumps the law of gravity. And so as long as those jet engines are roaring and there's fuel, that plane is going to fly. It will never be under the law of gravity. Now, we were under the law of sin and death. We were ground bound. Now, we had nothing inside of us that enabled us to escape from that law of sin and death. So what did God do? He sent Jesus. Now, when we receive this gospel, we receive Jesus. Jesus comes to live inside of us. He is the engine that can lift us away from or set us free from the law of sin and death. And we will never be under that again.
Correct.
Why? Because he has an unlimited supply of fuel. So he is going to power this eternal life that we have from the moment we receive him forever. It's never going to change. So we can't walk away from that conversion. We can't go from life back to death. We can't go from being declared righteous to a state of unrighteousness. We can't go from a state of forgiveness to a state of unforgiveness. We can't exchange our new heart for that old heart again. Why? Because Jesus has come to live inside of us. He has put us under this law of the Spirit of life. And because we're under that eternally, we can never go back to the old way.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. Now, there are people that walk away.
Yeah.
Now, here's what John says about those. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us. So there are many people in churches today.
Yeah.
Who have professed with their lips a knowledge of Christ, but it's never been a heart experience. And maybe life gets tough for them, and so they decide this Christian thing isn't working, and they walk away. Well, they were never really a part. They had never crossed over from death to life. They had never been made new in Jesus Christ. So the fact that they're walking away is evidence that they had never been saved to begin with. So we often mistake those folks that are walking away and say, see, they walked away. They said no. Well, it's because they were never a part to begin with.
Yes.
They had never come to Jesus. So if you've genuinely come to Jesus, you have confessed with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you've believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, that isn't just analyzing facts and saying, hey, I think that's true. You really know in your heart that God indeed raised Jesus from the dead. Why? Because you've had an encounter with the living Christ through this gospel message. You have encountered him. You know, you just know that he is alive. And you open up your heart, you receive him, he comes in, and you are changed forever. You become one of his. You belong to the family of God. You're a part of this body of Christ and can never go back. You can never walk away. You may have a time where you're in doubt, but God doesn't, you know, Jesus isn't going to be so worried about your doubt.
There's no condemnation for that.
That's exactly right. So you may doubt, he's right there with you. And I guarantee you, he is going to renew that mind of yours. His Spirit is going to continually bear witness with your spirit that you indeed are a child of God.
Now, one of the great ironies of this kind of question is that quite often the people who believe that you can walk away from God are only too happy to watch you go. You know, well, see, we told you, you know, you were lost. That may be for many people, not all people. But for many people, that may be the very time when they are the most open to the gospel, because they finally figured out that whatever it was they were believing is bankrupt. But if we just write them off, how can we ever win them back? Now, there are people who have rejected Christ and don't want anything to do with him. Fine. But let's not get into the judgment business. We're in the gospel business.
That's right.
You know, Jesus is more powerful than any of us in any of these situations.
We're ministers of life.
Yes.
That's what the gospel is all about sharing the life of Jesus with those who are dead in sin, and then rejoicing with those who are in the body of Christ over the fact that we share in this grace of God together. Well, Richard, we started off the program today with the question, how can you get closer to God? And we gave two scripture passages. I want to repeat those. 1 Corinthians 6:17 and also Romans 8:11. So if you will look at those two passages and look at them in light of that question, how can I be closer to God? I think those will give you a rock solid answer and will put an attitude of gratefulness in your heart for what God has already accomplished for you in drawing near to you in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, thank you so much for being a part of today's edition of Basic Gospel. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition. If you have questions, jot this number down, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on tomorrow's broadcast. Well, now for Richard and for the entire Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Lewisville, Texas.